Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
What will it look like for us to prioritize our lives around the gospel? Well, we got to get our priorities right, and some things just need to be taken down from that top spot and put in the place where they ought to be. But Jesus needs to be put back in that place again. Now, here's another question, but coming from a different angle. What does a gospel-prioritized life look like?
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, in a message titled, The Priority of the Gospel. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
This is not peacetime. We're soldiers, and this is a war, and we're in the midst of it. So he speaks of Epaphroditus as his fellow soldier. But as we look at these two, what we see in them is that they are men who prioritize the gospel. And that's really the essence of what we want to talk about here today, prioritizing the gospel. We all know about what it is to have priorities. We all probably struggle at times with having the right priorities. Yesterday, we had a speaker named Drew Dick. Drew's written a book called Your Future Self Will Thank You. And it's a book that's talking about self-control. It's talking about discipline. It's talking about all these things that if we do these things, it's going to make for not only a better life just in a general sense, but of course, it's going to make a huge difference in our effectiveness for the gospel. And it was a great teaching that he did, and we handed out the book because we thought it was such an important thing to get into the hands of people. But, you know, he was talking about his own struggles with some of these things and talking about prioritizing his life. And I think that all of us, on a fairly regular basis, we need to just pause and look at our lives and just say, okay, wait, where are my priorities? Because it's easy to get our priorities misplaced. Now, I would imagine that most people in the room are believers, followers of Jesus, Christians. And so if I were to say, hey, what, you know, list your top five priorities in life from, you know, in the order of number one, write down. Now, I would, hopefully, I'm right on this. Everyone would say, well, of course, Jesus is in my top five priority, the top five of my priority list. But the question is not, is he in the top five or 10? The question is, where is he at in the priority list? Now, for Timothy and Epaphroditus, Jesus was the top of the list. The gospel was the top of the list. And it shouldn't really be any different today. You know, it's funny because when I read what Paul says about the difference between Timothy and others, when he says, I have no one like-minded like Timothy who will genuinely care, for everyone seeks their own things. Now, sometimes we almost think that that's just what happens today because everybody's so busy and life's so hectic and we have all of these things to distract us. But guess what? That happened 2,000 years ago. We sometimes almost tend to let ourselves off the hook because, well, gosh, you know, life today is just so crazy. I mean, back then, things were so much slower and they didn't have all of this stuff that they had to be involved with and they weren't bombarded by all of these things. Well, whatever was going on back then, there were still plenty of people that did not have Christ as their priority. They had other things. They were seeking other things. So it's really not so much due to the time in history that we live or to the cultural environment that we live in. It's really more a matter of the heart. If their hearts could be led astray back then of course ours can be today as well. But as we think about the prioritizing of the gospel, what does that look like? And this is today, I want us to really be honest with ourselves. That's where everything starts, taking an honest look at ourselves. And as you would look at yourself, as I would look at myself, what does that mean? As we look at Timothy and Epaphroditus, we see what it looked like for them. Timothy cared most for the things of Christ. That was the top of his priority list. Epaphroditus cared more about the things of Christ than he did his own life. So that's what it looked like for them. But what does it look like for us? So if we're to say, okay, yeah, here are my priorities, where would Jesus land on the priority list? Let's just say you're going to do the top five or top 10 things. Where does Jesus land on that? And the truth is this, if he lands anywhere other than at the top, and again, nobody's watching. It's not like we're actually writing this down. This is just in your heart, right? But God knows. God knows all of our hearts. So this is a question that we have to really ask ourselves, because unless Jesus is the priority, our lives are never going to be what God intends them to be, nor are they ever going to be what we hope they will be. You see, people get their priorities out of whack because they think that these things need to be the priority, because if I can just get these things covered, then everything else is going to be great. But that's a delusion. It's not accurate. And once again, I refer back to our guest yesterday, Daryl Strawberry. You know, here's a guy, and he was talking about this yesterday, so it's fresh on my mind. He's talking about his career as a professional baseball player. And, you know, Daryl Strawberry wasn't just any old baseball player. I mean, he was one of the best players of all time. And so he gained this unbelievable status in the culture. He's a cultural icon. He's a sports icon. He's a home run hitter. He's wealthy and he's famous and he's all those things. And he's talking about that yesterday. And he was talking about how none of that ever fulfilled the deepest longing of his heart. And that's how he ended up becoming a drug addict. That's how he ended up being in trouble with the law. You know, he ended up on all of those things because he's on this pursuit thinking that he's going to find the real meaning of life and the joy of life and the thrill of life. And he says, you know, actually he found himself in a drug house, $3 million in debt. And at that point, there were two messages coming to him. One message was, hey, you did it before, you can do it again, man. Just get yourself together. You can earn another $50 million. You can do this and you can do that. And that was one message. And the other message over here was, you need to follow Christ. You need to come to the Lord. And he looks at this one side and he says, well, I've already been there. I've already made the millions. I've already been at the top of the pack. And so he just knew enough to know that going back there is not the answer. So it was then that he gave his life to Jesus. And, you know, as he stood here yesterday calling men to come to Christ, I sat there watching and I thought, man, our God is a God of redemption. He took this life that was so broken and beaten down, and he just completely turned it around. And, you know, talking, just having personal conversations with Daryl, it's obvious. He expressed it, but it's obvious by his demeanor. He's the happiest he's ever been in his whole life. He's doing the greatest thing he's ever done in his whole life. For him, being on this platform, seeing guys come down and receive Christ, better than hitting 100 home runs. I mean, for him, like, this is it. But what's happened to him? Well, he got his priorities in order. And now Jesus is the priority. And, you know, we were talking about our age, and he's a little bit younger than I am. But we were just talking about, man, just the rest of our lives, we're able to just keep going and serving Christ and seeing what God wants to do. So, again, coming back to ourselves, what does it look like for us to prioritize our lives around Christ and the gospel. What do we need to do to see that happen? And this is something that only you know. Maybe people around you know too, and they can, maybe they've even been saying things to you about it. And maybe God's been even convicting you about it. But really, in the end, you know what it is. You know what it's going to take. But here's what I want to say to you. There's no sacrifice that's too great for Christ and the gospel. Epaphroditus felt that way. He, even his own life, if he lost his own life in the process, for him, it was worth it because of Christ and the gospel. And the same thing was true of Timothy. And of course, the same thing was true of Paul. You know, there were many occasions where Paul was going into a situation that was dangerous, that was deadly. And there were times when people tried to prevent Paul from going into those deadly situations. And he would just say, look, my life, I do not count my life dear to myself. What I want to do with my life is I want to finish the course. I want to cross the finish line in the race that Christ has set for me. And many, many people all throughout history have done the same thing. And many are doing it today. But I can't have much to do with the many. I've got to deal with my own life. So what does it mean? What do we need to do? What are the priorities that have come in and taken the place of the priority of Christ and the gospel in your life? What's up there? What are you living for? What are you thinking in the end is going to be the thing that, you know, when you finally master that, or when you really get hold of that, you know, that's going to bring you to the place that you're going to be satisfied then. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to feel like, man, I've attained my purpose in life. And of course, there are so many things that people pursue with that very thought in mind. If I can just be seen as this person, and it's all about a certain image, and if I can project this image, and if this is what people think when they see me, man, that is going to be, then I'm going to be fulfilled. But people do that all the time, and they're not fulfilled. Or sometimes it's a thing. It's a material object or objects. Or, you know, if I could just get that object, which is a status symbol, and I can, you know, be seen driving that kind of car, or living in that neighborhood, or being able to say, I make this amount of money, or I know these people. I mean, these are all the things that drive human beings, right? These are all the things that become the priorities in our life. And it can happen to Christians as well. I cannot tell you how many Christians I know who at one time I could see that Jesus was the priority in their life. It was pretty obvious by their lifestyle. It was obvious by what they did, what they were passionate about, things that they were engaging in, their ambitions and all that. It was obvious Jesus was the priority in their life. I look at them today, it is equally obvious today that Jesus is not the priority in their life. Well, they're still Christians. I don't doubt their salvation. But I do look at them and think, wow, what happened? What are you doing? Why are you spending all this time and energy and effort on this at this stage of the game? You know, I especially am perplexed when I think of people that are even my own age. I think, wow, you know, the clock is ticking. Time is running out. We do not want to be, you know, I don't want to be reliving my youth or trying to do something like that at this point. Well, it's way beyond that. I can't do it. Some people deceive themselves into thinking they can, but you can't. But why even do it? Why even think to do it when there's so much more? Christ, the gospel, the kingdom, serving the Lord. Well, you know, there's just nothing like it. It's the most amazing thing in the world. But again, what will it look like for us to prioritize our lives around the gospel? What do we need to do to see that happen? Well, we got to get our priorities right. And some things just need to be taken down from that top spot and just put in the place where they ought to be. But Jesus needs to be put back in that place again. Now, here's another question, but coming from a different angle. What does a gospel-prioritized life look like? Well, let me just say this. It looks really good. It looks really good. Here's the irony in all this. The things that we strive for that end up resulting in our priorities getting all out of whack, the things that we think we're going to get by doing that, and we think, I got to have my priorities like this if I'm going to get this, those very things, the things that are the most meaningful truly, the things that are the most wonderful experientially and all that, those things actually do happen when Christ becomes a priority. That's the amazing thing. You know, a young guy stopped me yesterday and he said, hey, I listened to you on the radio. And he goes, you know, I'm not married. He said, but I really like the way you talk about your wife. I really appreciate that. And, you know, maybe I'll be married someday. And I like the way you say things publicly about her and the way you treat her and all that. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to be married 40 years in a few months. And I said, my wife's like the best thing I got going. So, man, I can't help but talking good about her. She's great. She's amazing. But here's the thing. Tell her I said that. Now she knows. She's in the other room listening. But here's the thing. So what are people, like, let's just be honest. When a person has an affair, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Well, they're thinking like, well, you know, I've lost something. There's something that's, you know, if I could just get this back. So they're looking for something that they think is going to come to them through that. I'm going to renew my youth, or I'm going to have a refreshed romance, or whatever it's going to be. But they're looking at something that they think they're going to get from it. And they not only do not get that, they get the opposite of that. But if you just keep your priority where it should be on Jesus, then you get all the good stuff. And in the end, you especially get all the good stuff because you get the kingdom. But, you know, just living for the Lord today. So what does it look like to prioritize our lives around the gospel? It looks really good. It looks better than you could ever make for yourself. You know, that's the amazing thing. You know, the Lord calls us to himself. He calls us into, you know, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. He calls us to live a sacrificial life. And on the surface, we're thinking, oh my gosh, this all just sounds so tough. And well, what about me? And what am I going to get out of it? But you know what? When you, like Jesus said it this way, when you lose your life, you actually find it. When you die to yourself, then you actually begin to really live. That's the paradox of it all. See, people hold on and think, but if I give that up, then what about me? Well, guess what? It's only when you give it up that you get what God has in store, because you cannot improve on the life that God has planned for you. You can't improve on it. You can't make it better. And people try to do that all the time. All the time. People think, well, you know, they hear God's got a plan for their lives, and they go, yeah, that's great. Okay, thank you. But I got a plan too. You should see my plan. Yeah, well, we can tell you already what your plan's going to end up looking like. So don't believe that. Getting the priorities right, what it results in is fruitfulness in all spheres of life. Timothy, Epaphroditus is, you know, he labors to, he's near to death. He doesn't care. because he's serving Christ. And he knows even if he dies, it's all right. And so with Timothy, there's a great Psalm 128, that kind of just describes, I think, in a beautiful way, what the end result is of a life that is prioritized around the gospel. It says this: you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. I every time I read that 128th Psalm, I just think, well, this is such a beautiful picture. Flourishing. That's what God has for us. But we only flourish if our priorities are right. And if Christ is the priority, he then brings everything else into its proper place, and that results in flourishing for us. And so today, as we close, of course, I want to extend a gospel invitation to anyone with us today that maybe has not yet received Christ. And you've got Jesus isn't even anywhere on your priority list. But you realize suddenly, like, that's the problem. I've got to make Jesus a priority in my life. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you would like to do that. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. But I want to take this opportunity today to extend an invitation to believers who have got their priorities out of whack. You're a believer. You know that Christ is your Lord and Savior. You've received him. You've walked with him. You've served him. But right now, today, you would have to say, my priorities are not what they used to be. I don't know what's happened. I got caught up in this. I'm distracted by that. And you know, because God is so good and his mercies are new every morning, I just feel like he just wants to extend an invitation to people today to just come and get your priorities right. Just get a readjustment by the Lord. And to know that as you come to him, this is a beautiful thing about the Lord. You know, the Lord convicts us. He seeks, you know, through different means to turn us back and to get us, you know, in that place we need to be. But he doesn't berate us. He's not going to condemn you. He's just saying, come back and make me the priority of your life. Let's get back on track and let's go forward into the future with Jesus and the gospel as the priority. That's the important thing.
Let's join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
An important aspect of the Christian life is understanding that we are in a spiritual battle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6, but we are in a war against these principalities and powers, against these spiritual beings. And so I've written a book that was at one time entitled Spiritual Warfare, but in the updated version, I changed the title to The Powers of Darkness and the People of God. And I think this is such an important book. So many of us go about experiencing what is really the attack of the devil, but we don't even realize that that's what's going on. So this book will inform you not only of how to detect when the enemy's at work, but also of how to combat the various schemes of the enemy to mess with us and to undermine our faith and to just basically make our lives miserable. So I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of The Powers of Darkness and the People of God.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Brian Broderson. You can order the book The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Brian Broderson. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Philippians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.